am that old. I know I don't look that old. Thanks, Dennis. but with fantastic words. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You're waiting for? You're waiting for Jesus to come back. That's a good thing to wait for. What are you waiting for? Last Wednesday, the Tour of Britain passed through Worksop. For those of you who don't know, that's a cycle race, a bit like Tour de France, quite a big deal. And it was the fourth stage, and I think it was Mansfield to Newark. And a bit of a all around the shop, you know, if you look at the route they were taking, it was passing through as many villages and towns in the area as maybe could. How many? 167 kilometres. That's a long way to get from Mansfield to Newark. Sure, it can be done shorter. But as it happened, I was in Worksop that day. As it happened, I managed to get down to town to be part of it and to watch it, as did many others. And as I walked down from our house, there was something different about the atmosphere. There was people walking with a bit of a spring in their step, and there was an excitement, but there was something definitely different. You know, I walked out of Robinson Drive and we collided with another road, and there was a whole troop of school kids, and Ethan was one of them, and he ran up and gave me a big hug. Dad, we're going to watch the race. And they were all in their high-vis vest, and they lined up along Sparkin Hill to watch. And there was such an air of anticipation. Something exciting was going to be coming into Worksop. And I went down to the Civic Square, you know, in front of the cinema. I don't know if you know that's what it's called, but that's our Civic Square. And I found people waiting with anticipation. People had started to gather. Our own Andy Bishop was there, and he had a big display in his racing team. And you know, Andy's got the cycling proficiency, but he was there promoting cycling. And he was bringing with it a great representation of local talent. He'd been invited to be part of this event. And there was a whole range of people had come to witness it. And you know, there was something particular going to happen, and people had come to witness it. There were residents of the community. There were people who work. There was a guy I know who's a workmate of a guy on our road, and he was there, and he'd nipped out of work for a bit, and you know, people just taking a step out of their day because something different happened. There were politicians there. The guy who's led the county council, a few of the councillors, the community safety guys had come out, people from the council had come out, the police were there. And there was just this, something was coming, and people were hanging out. And what I've noticed was they were all trying to position themselves to get the best view, to best experience what was coming. And, you know, it just struck me how many lives we know in this town. Because while I was waiting, I was able to ping-pong around. I was like a bit like a pinball in a machine, crossing the road and popping and talking to people, and people were excited. I thought, I know so many people here. They're not just random faces. These are people who I know. These are people I've come to know over my time living here. So many relationships, so many connections. I thought, that's great. But something that also struck me, you know, when you're having a race and you're anticipating, you think they barrier off the roads and close them. But there seemed to be less people than I anticipated. When I got down there, people were just going about their everyday business. There were vehicles driving up the road towards where the race was going to come from. And I thought, these guys haven't heard. They don't know what's happening. Genuinely, there were people just thinking, why are all these people in our way? They were just getting on with their day. They had no idea. Maybe they'd missed the signs. Maybe they hadn't seen the promotion. Maybe nobody had told them, but they were just getting on with their everyday business. They had no idea that something special was coming to town. But something happened. As the crowds gathered, a crowd gathered. Have you ever noticed that? That people were saying, what's happening? Oh, it's Tour of Britain. Really? Coming through here? Yeah. Oh, I'll stop and watch that. I'll wait for that. As the crowd gathered, And some people who met with me the other night well, no, this is something that God's put in my heart, and I've been considering it since then. And I was reminded of Zacchaeus. You know the story of Zacchaeus. Let's just read it. It's Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho. We'll wait for Dennis. It's on page 1763. I'm making that up. Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Zacchaeus knew someone important was coming. He wasn't quite sure who, but he wanted to have a good vantage point. But he was physically and socially inhibited. He was a little bloke, insignificant, and he was disliked by people because he was a money-grabbing tax collector for the Romans. But he found a vantage point to watch Jesus pass by. But Jesus had no intention of passing by. As we started that passage, it said Jesus was passing through. Jesus had no intention of passing by. He came to town with a plan that day. He came to meet with someone who needed Jesus in his life. He came to transform a life. He came to seek and to save the lost. Now, as someone who was known to everyone in town for the wrong reasons, he hadn't anticipated that Jesus would stop to intervene in his life. He certainly didn't expect Jesus to invite himself to his house and have tea with him. He was getting on with his daily life, but he stopped to observe this thing passing through, this person. But he didn't think it was going to change his life. But when Jesus initiates a relationship, it's for a reason. He has a plan. Just like he has a plan for you and me. Each and every one of us. Just like he has a plan for the relationships he's initiated in your life. His plan hasn't changed. It's never changed. He was always planning to pass through. He was always planning to come this way. And he was coming with an intention. He came to seek and to save the lost. What are we waiting for? What are we anticipating? Do you know that the atmosphere when I went down to the tour of Britain, it was tangible. There was something very different. It wasn't just humdrum everyday stuff. It was exciting. And I thought, that's for something. That I videoed it. I videoed all the cyclists and all the support cars and the ambulances and the guy who was going along at the back taking down the signs with the taking off the tie wraps. It's about 2 minutes. Probably for the whole lot. Once they'd arrived, it flushed through really fast. Imagine if we got hold of what it was like, the reality, Jesus is passing through our town. Jesus is coming. If we got hold of that, Phoebe said she's waiting for Jesus to come back. The reality is, he will come back one day. But we can't wait till then. What are we waiting for? God has initiated relationships that you and I are in to seek and to save the lost. What are we waiting for? Excited anticipation. Or have we missed the signs? Are we too busy with the everyday stuff to stop and notice something or someone special is coming to town? You know, God is impressing upon me again and again and again. They're ready. You don't have to go and plant the seed. They're ready. I'm giving you the opportunities. Take the opportunities. I'm putting these people in front of you for a reason. And I don't think he's just talking to me. I'm not the only one who knows people. The connections and the relationships we have are because he's ready. And he's put us in this place at this time. And it's the impression is overwhelming. But the idea that people are going to a lost eternity because of my inaction is also overwhelming. We can't allow that to happen. We have been forgiven so much at great cost. Who has God put in our path or in relationship with us? Which God-ordained relationship has he prepared for us to introduce somebody to him? Let's be about that excitement. Let's be about building the crowd. We're here in this crowd. We see each other here, but you know, God is contagious if we're not too busy to let him be. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. As we come to remember what Christ's done for him, as we come to thank him, as we come to acknowledge his gift of forgiveness for our sin, that we say, sorry, God, we've messed up, and he forgives us again and again. We come to accept that forgiveness. As we come to receive his eternal love, his eternal grace, let's also remind ourselves that he first loved us so that we would love him and love others in his name. Jesus is coming to this town. Are we ready? Are we making the preparations? Are we inviting others along? Are we telling people, come along, it's for you to be part of as well? And it's not just going to be a moment. But we can miss opportunities. Opportunities to transform lives. Are we promoting the fact to those who know nothing about it? Those who are at risk of missing out completely. Doesn't bear thinking about. One day we'll stand before him. We can celebrate now, we'll come together, but one day we'll stand before him. And the opportunity to tell others will be gone. And we'll be celebrating, but I don't even, it breaks my heart to think of how many opportunities I'll have missed. And God's really getting on my case and saying, now is the time. Step into what I've prepared. Don't wait. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Use the opportunity. Use the relationships I've given you. So many people who we already know need to know Jesus, but they're waiting for the introduction, and they need us to do that. He has a plan. Salvation is in his blood. It's what he does. It's why he came. Let's pray and let's act to see salvation come to this town, to this region, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our family. You know, it is good news. We're coming to celebrate. God is so good to us. He gave up everything to give us life. But he gave up everything so that everyone could have life. Let's pray and then we'll break bread together. Father God, we come to celebrate. We come grateful. We come astounded by your forgiveness, by your grace, by your love. But Father God, you also gave us your spirit. You gave us your guide, to prompt us, to awaken us, to make us attuned to what you're doing. Lord, you are at work. You have a plan. Jesus, you came with a plan for each one of us and for each person that we know, to seek and to save those who are lost, to give them life, to bring them from death to life. And we thank you, Father, that we can come today and celebrate what we have in you. But we ask that we will never grow complacent, that we'll never be satisfied just to receive this for ourselves, but Lord, that we would know that you saved us for a purpose. So we come with a gratitude of attitude, an attitude of gratitude, Lord. We come with a desire to honor you. We come with thankfulness, but Lord, would you place in us a burning desire to make you known, to see the atmosphere change, to see anticipation, to be expectant, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen.